الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, his companions, and each and everyone who follows them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. For the brothers who are coming here for the first time, first and foremost, I would like to warmly welcome you for coming. جزاكم الله خيرا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic narration, whoever seeks a path in order to gain knowledge, then Allah will facilitate for him a path that will lead him to Jannah. So that effort that you make, even for some it may be major, for others it may be minor. Some of you coming from far, some of you coming from down the street, some of you are free, some of you have made yourself free for the dars. Allah knows about each individual's personal circumstances, and each will be, وعليكم السلام تفضلوا, and each will be rewarded accordingly. Nothing will go in vain, inshallah. That's the least. Even if it's a small minor effort, the hadith is applicable. You strive even that much and Allah will facilitate for you a way to Jannah. And that's why we're here, to go to Jannah. So inshallah, يعني, don't belittle that effort. Hopefully بإذن الله عز وجل, you will see, you will reap the benefits in this life and in the life to come. Furthermore, the actual book that we deal with is called العقيدة الواسطية. عليكم السلام تفضلوا. العقيدة الواسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى. العقيدة الواسطية is a book that deals with the Islamic creed or the belief system of the Muslim, and particularly the aspect of the names and attributes of Allah, because Muslims haven't really differed about, we don't even differ with the non-Muslims about the fact that Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Almost all religions believe that there's some God. Now they may differ about who that God is, but they believe that there's a greater power that brought this universe into existence. The Christians call him the Father, the Hindus they may be Brahma, whatever they call him, whatever the God is for them, but they believe in a greater power. So we don't even differ with the non-Muslims about the Rububiyyah, meaning that there's a Lord. We do differ, and we hardly ever differ with the Muslims amongst each other, regarding the Uluhiyyah, meaning Allah being the only object of worship. You may find some who worship graves, some who worship other than in the creation of Allah, but those are really limited, and they may reach a point where they are no longer part of Islam. The aspect of Tawheed where Muslims often differ about is that of the names and attributes of Allah. Between those who affirm them versus those who negate them, those who resemble Allah to His creation or liken Allah to His creation versus those who keep the ayat as they apparently mean. And this is where the difference comes, and this book deals with what the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the group, the Muslim, the main Muslim body, which is known as Orthodox Islam, the mainstream Islam, the group that did not have any deviations, what did they believe? And we said, as we were in the khutbah, that includes the four a'imma, the four madahib, which everybody knows, and the righteous predecessors agreed unanimously, 99% agreed to these things. And that difference came afterwards. Because usually, back in our home countries, these issues are not discussed. In school you learn math, and you learn chemistry, and you learn geography, and you learn everything, but nobody told you tawheed. And if they taught you maybe Quran recitation, you know, probably, or something, but never really يعني علم, knowledge in this ultimate sense. So then it becomes upon us to learn this at an older age rather than having learned it at a younger age. Either way, this is what the book deals with. The names and attributes of Allah. For the newcomers, kindly put your phones on vibrate. Jazakum Allahu khaira. We have already passed almost, what, how many pages? 132 pages of the book by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't feel bad. If you have time on your hand and you have internet access, then every single dars has been recorded through this particular recorder. Then it is uploaded on the website. So you may download each and every dars from what you have missed, and at your own convenience listen to them again so you can catch up with us. If you don't have time, alhamdulillah, from now on you can try to keep up with us and see what's going on. Today we will begin a new attribute of Allah, which is known as Sifatul Rahmah. What is Rahmah in English?
Mercy.
Everybody agrees to that? Is Allah merciful? So He has the name Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, and He possesses the quality of Ar-Rahmah. Some Muslims don't believe that. Some Muslims, like some of the Mu'tazila and Asha'ira groups that are available today, they call people to their belief system, they have websites, they have books being published, they do da'wah. That you can say that Allah is Ar-Rahim as a name, but you cannot attribute the quality of Rahmah to Allah, because in their mind that's His quality of deficiency. It's weakness to be merciful. And Allah is not weak, so then they say, no mercy. So you say, okay, subhanAllah, what did you leave for the Qur'an and the Sunnah if you're going to inject your intellect into every ayah and every hadith? So let's see what the reality of this quality is. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, هذه آيات في إثبات صفة الرحمة. What follows will be verses that deal with affirming the quality of rahmah, mercy. الآية الأولى, the first ayah is قوله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And this is the first ayah in the Quran. Now some of the scholars believe that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not an ayah of the Fatiha. It is not an ayah of the Fatiha as the seven for the seven ayat. They believe it's just it's an ayah that is found as a partition between each two chapters, just to begin the surah, not necessarily part of the surah. They have evidences, we will not elaborate on that now. But here we're not dealing with the one in Surah Al-Fatiha, we're dealing with the one in Surah Al-Naml, the ants, verse number 30. Remember the story of Sulaiman? When Sulaiman sent the letter through the Hudhud and to the queen of Balqis, I believe, and then she said, and it is, وَأَنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. That letter began, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. طيب. هذه آية أتى بها المؤلف رحمه الله ليثبت حكما وليست مقدمة لما بعدها وقد سبق لنا شرح البسملة فلا حاجة إلى إعادته. The Shaykh said this ayah was authored or was produced by the author of the book, which is Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله, to prove a ruling and not to begin this chapter dealing with the صفة الرحمة. Like when you write a letter, you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, my beloved brother such and such. So you usually begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This here is not trying to begin that chapter of the book with that. Rather, he's using this ayah because of the word ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And we have explained that earlier in the book, so the Shaykh said we will not go back and do that again. And so for those of you who missed it, then we'll have to follow the same methodology. Anyways, maybe one of the brothers who have been coming to the class can help us. How many names of Allah does it have? No. The ayah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How many names of Allah does it have?
Three.
What are they?
Allah. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How many attributes?
Two.
Huh?
Two.
Rahman ar-Rahim. Tab, are they the same? What's the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim?
One is beneficent, other is merciful.
Tayyib, still.
Merciful to all kind of human beings.
Which is which one?
Disbelievers.
Which is which one?
Rahim?
No, the other way around.
Rahman.
Rahman is the general one for all of the creation. Everybody falls under the quality of, everybody gets the Rahman, which is the believer and the kafir. Whereas Ar-Rahim is particular and exclusive, wa alaykum salam, to the believers. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And He is to the believers, رَحِيمًا, Rahim, only to the believers. This is one way how the scholars make a distinction between them. The other way is, Ar-Rahman is the quality of mercy, Ar-Rahim is the action. The action of the actual mercy. One is quality, the other one is an action. The Shaykh will elaborate on that, inshaAllah. Anyways, من صفاته الألوهية والرحمة. Actually, he gave both. الألوهية, which is the one deserving to be worshipped, or the divinity, and الرحمة, the mercy of Allah. The second ayah, that's the first ayah. قوله ربنا وسعت كل شيء رحمة وعلما. This is in Surah Ghafir, verse number 7. هذا يقوله الملائكة. This is actually said by the angels. To read the context, the Shaykh will quote the context of the ayah. الذين يحملون العرش ومن حوله يسبحون بحمد ربهم ويؤمنون به ويستغفرون للذين آمنوا ربنا وسعت كل شيء رحمة وعلما فاغفر للذين تابوا واتبعوا سبيلك وقهم عذاب الجحيم. سورة غافر verse 7, it says, and those angels who bear the throne, who carry the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those around it glorify the praises of their Lord and believe in Him and ask forgiveness for those who believe, inshallah, me and you. They say, the angels, our Lord, you have encompassed all things in mercy and knowledge. You have encompassed everything, all things in mercy and knowledge. So forgive those who repent from their sins, or those who are non-Muslims and entered into Islam, and follow your way, the way that leads to Jannah, as-sirat al-mustaqim, and save them from the torment of the blazing fire. So this is the angels, these are the angels making this particular supplication for the believers. The Shaykh says, rahimahullah, ma a'zam al-iman wa a'zam fa'idatuh. How great is iman, and how great is its benefit. الملائكة حول العرش يحملونه يدعون الله للمؤمن. The angels that are bearing the throne of Allah are supplicating for the believer. يعني this is a privilege. You know, you got the angels that are the closest, the nearest to Allah, those who carry the throne of Allah. And when we say that, it does not mean that Allah is dependent on the throne or on the angels. Rather, the angels and the throne are dependent on Allah. Nothing is established, nothing is maintained except by the will of Allah, which is لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There's no way and there's no power except that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is not an indication that Allah is in need of them. Rather, they are in need of Allah. But this is the wisdom of Allah and His choice. This is what He decreed, that He has a throne and angels carry it. So we stop at that as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We don't sit there and question why, and we don't deny, and we don't go around, you know, coming up with philosophical arguments. We stick to the revelation of Allah. Allah says that there are angels carrying the throne, making istighfar for the believer. Case closed. Khalas. Don't go beyond that. Because this is from the unseen, and you don't know the unseen. You haven't seen it. And you mind, no matter how smart you are, you may be able to resolve the most difficult mathematical equation, but you're not intelligent enough to understand the greatness of the universe and the creation of Allah, let alone the Creator. So this is why we hold our grounds and we take it easy, as they say. طيب وقوله ربنا وسعت كل شيء رحمة وعلما. The statement of Allah, our Lord, you have encompassed everything in mercy and knowledge. يدل على أن كل شيء وصله علم الله وهو واصل لكل شيء فإن رحمته وصلت إليه. This indicates that anything that Allah's knowledge encompasses or reaches, and that includes everything. Is there any form of, is there any living thing that Allah's knowledge is unaware of? No. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. How many hairs you have on your head? And how many hairs have fallen from your head? From the time you were born until today, it is in the record. It is in the record. Every single intricate detail that we human beings may never be able to even discover. We may die before we discover some of the small details of, you know, the nucleus and what's in the nucleus. I know they have microscopes, but still we are still limited. Anyways, all this is knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's nothing beyond that. Whatever Allah's knowledge reaches, then Allah's mercy reaches that also. Because the ayah says, رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. Both of them were mentioned at the same time. So then whatever Allah's knowledge reaches, then Allah's mercy is there as well. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَرَنَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي الْحُكُمِ. Because Allah joined them in the ruling. وَهَذِهِ الرَّحْمَةَ الْعَامَةَ الَّتِي تَشْمَلُ جَمِيعَ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ حَتَّى الْكُفَّارِ. لأن الله قرن الرحمة هذه مع العلم فكلما بلغه علم الله وعلم الله بالغ لكل شيء فقد بلغته رحمته فكما يعلم الكافر يرحم الكافر أيضا أو يرحم الكافر أيضا. The Shaykh said, and this is the general encompassing mercy that includes all of the creation, even the disbelievers. even the disbelievers. Because Allah joined that or mentioned that in the context of speaking of knowledge. The rahmah and the knowledge were mentioned simultaneously. So then, whatever Allah's knowledge reaches, He's reconfirming that idea, then Allah's mercy reaches as well. So then, even the kafir, the same way Allah knows about the affair of the kafir, then Allah's mercy also reaches the kafir. طيب, what kind of mercy is the kafir receiving? Any suggestions? But we stick to the context. We don't want to open a long discussion. But what kind of mercy does the disbeliever today get from Allah?
Sustenance.
Sustenance. Good. Well, sustenance actually includes everything, right? Exactly. Food, drink, wife, children, homes, cars, everything is really a form of sustenance. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Even health, anything that is given is in fact a form of sustenance. Ahsan. That's short and to the point. The Shaykh said, لَكَنْ رَحْمَتُهُ لِلْكَافِرْ رَحْمَةً جَسَدِيَّ بَدَنِيَّ دُنْيَوِيَّ قَاصِرَ غَايَةِ الْقُصُورِ بِالنِّسْبَةِ لِرَحْمَةِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. The mercy of Allah to the disbeliever is strictly and exclusively related to the physical body and the affairs of the dunya, the material world. Materialistic mercy, only related to the world. And it is very limited in comparison to the mercy that encompasses the believer. Please, Jazakallahu khair. فَالَّذِي يَرْزُقُ الْكَافِرُ هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي يَرْزُقُهُ بِالطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ وَاللِّبَاسِ وَالْمَسْكَنِ وَالْمَنْكَحِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكِ. So then the one who sustains the disbeliever, it is Allah who provides him with the food and the drink and the clothing and the accommodation and spouses, you know, and whatever, marriage and other than that. All of these are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what do the disbelievers do with that? They use the very mercy from Allah to disbelieve in Him. That's the problem, you see. And this is why Jahannam has been prepared for these people. Because you will come across some Muslims and very often non-Muslims will say, why would God put people in the hellfire, right? Why would there be punishment in the hellfire? Why can't God just love everyone and put them in paradise? You may hear some arguments of this fashion and you may not know how to answer. But inshallah, I can give you one possible answer, that you always strike examples related to the dunya. That way they will understand the affairs of the hereafter and the affairs of the deen, which is the way of Allah in the Quran. وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ until the end of the ayat. And strike for them the similitude of this life of this world is like water that we send down from the skies. So then it mixes with the earth and vegetation grows. And then it becomes dry and is broken into pieces and it is scattered away with the wind. So Allah struck an example for us to understand the value of this life like rain with vegetation that eventually goes away. So it is the way of the Quran and the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to strike examples for the people when they don't understand. And in this case, you give them the following example. You say, you live in India, for example, or the Philippines, whatever. I'm not trying to be nationalistic or anything, right? Any country you like. And you get hired by some company in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, okay? They hire you, you know, they bring everything. They bring you and your family, your wife, your children, okay? They give you an accommodation. They give you an iqama. They give you a fat, big salary. Okay? They give you food. They give you everything you need. Every single thing, more than you've ever imagined. They take care of you from A to Z. طيب? And they bring you on to this company because they need your skills. I mean, you're a very skilled person in whatever field you're working in. And you are, yani, the whole company depends on you for this company to continue to flourish and to exist in this, you know, in the competition. They need your skills. And so they invest all of this money, although they're suffering, in you. So you could come over here and do some job. So here you are, you know, you come to the kingdom. You get hired, of course, you're working in this company. And now part of your job is to actually, for example, put things together. Okay, you have to come up with some, invent some new machinery or some electronic, whatever your job is. Just hypothetically speaking. So then you come, you use the accommodation they gave you, the money that they're giving you, the laptop that they provide you with from the business, the material from them, the electricity that you're using at home from them, the air condition was bought, everything you're using is from them. And you do spend many hours working on producing this electronic. And then after you complete your successfully your project, you go and make a phone call to the competition, the business that is, you know, competitors with them. Say, hey, check it out, man. I got this beautiful, you know, piece of electronic here. If you wish, I could just give it to you for free. You know, just come pick it up. I have the manual. I have the way to manufacture the whole nine yards. You know what I'm saying? And they do come say, oh, wow, this is what we're looking for all our lives. You give them everything, and then yalla ma'a salama. So then, you know, the boss comes say, hey, what happened to the project? Say, oh, yeah. I actually did finish the project, and I gave it to XX, you know, business, you know, our competition. What is he going to do to you? In real life, they will kill you. No, they will not. In real life, they will get some assassinators, get somebody to get rid of you, you know. Get somebody hired downstairs to run you over. As soon as you go to the market, you cross in the street, somebody come, boof, yalla. Because a person will lose his mind. A human being, the company will get back at you with revengefully, you know. They will sue you. They will take your money away. They will make sure that you pay for this, you know, you've made major damage. You've used everything from them, and then you give it to someone else. Tell them, wouldn't you be upset if you were the business owner? Would you not be upset with this individual? Would you not want to punish him for this deal? Or would you say, may Allah khali go like him and the other employee who's working hard? Of course not. So if this is the case, then you tell them something very simple. If this is the case with a freaking device, you know, excuse me, for some electronic, with an employee and a business, and you know how the people would react. Then you want to take everything from Allah, and Allah has the best example, the highest example. Then the son of Adam is created by Allah, and sustained by Allah, and he is surviving by the means given to him by Allah. Then he's taken everything from Allah, then he gives the act of worship to an idol, or to a statue, or to Jesus, or to Mary, or to whoever it is. Then you think Allah is going to put him in Jannah, like the believer who dedicates his life for the sake of Allah? They're not the same. So this one now deserves Jahannam, rightfully. And no one will say otherwise, because that person has done what made them. Waalaikum salam. He had done that which made them earn that punishment. Is that clear enough? So that is one worldly example you can give them to understand the graveness of this violation. Associating partners with Allah is not something that is minor or insignificant. This is the biggest, most major sin that Allah will not forgive if someone dies in that state. If someone dies in that state, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah does not forgive that partners are ascribed to him. But he will forgive whatever is lesser than that, to whomever he wills. So anything less than shirk, it's possibly forgiven on the day of judgment. But shirk, you die in that. If you even repent from shirk in the dunya, that's also forgiven. For otherwise, no non-Muslim can become a Muslim. So anyone who committed shirk and became a Muslim, or a Muslim who was worshipped in a grave and became a muwahid after all this will be forgiven. But when someone dies in that state, this is when that forgiveness is no longer applicable to them. So then, the disbeliever uses the mercy of Allah in order to disobey Allah with it. He does not strive to put it, to implement it, or to utilize it for the pleasure of Allah. And this is why there's a huge difference between the Muslim and the non-Muslim. أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ كَالْمُسْلِمِينَ أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. Allah says, shall we treat the Muslims like the criminals? What is the matter with you? How do you judge? Allah is asking this question in the Quran. What is the matter with you? How do you judge? How do you make the Muslim like the criminal? So they're not the same, they're not alike. أَمَّا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ فرحمتهم رحمة أخص من هذه وأعظم لأنها رحمة إيمانية دينية دنيوية. As for the believers, then the mercy that has been specified for them is much more specific and great, because it is a mercy that deals with faith and with the dunya as well, the worldly matter and the material world, and religion, the affairs of your religion. This is specific mercy for the believer, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, waalaikum salam, Allah guides you to Islam, or Allah makes you born into Islam. Because you may be born into Islam, or an environment where someone taught you the Quran. I mean, you are in the environment that is befitting from the time of birth. That is a mercy from Allah. And Allah maintained and protected you in Islam. Or for the non-Muslim who was guided to Islam, this is a big bounty from Allah. Because you were misguided, you were, you know, on the path of destruction, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from among the billions and billions of His creation, He chose you to be guided to the truth. So then this is a special mercy, specific for the believers, that the disbeliever does not have. not because Allah is it's like an arbitrary kind of you know judgment, rather because the person did not strive for it. The disbeliever does not want it. Had he wanted mercy, the special mercy of guidance, Allah would have guided him. But the problem is people don't want to be guided. They like the dunya, they like the life of this world, they like entertainment. And so when they realize that the obligations of worship will come, will contradict their desires and their whims, they favor the world of this life over the hereafter. Even though they know that there may be punishment and consequences for their actions, but they like what they're doing so much that they're not willing to give it up for the sake of Allah. And so this is a person who has chosen the dunya over the akhirah. If he has made that choice, how does he want to ask for the akhirah after all? If you were given a choice and you chose the dunya, then you want to come on the day of judgment and say, give me the akhirah. But you chose the dunya when you were given a choice. So this is what you will get. And this is only the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am. ولهذا تجد المؤمن أحسن حالا من الكافر حتى في أمور الدنيا. The Shaykh said, this is why you find a believer, he is better, in a better condition than the disbeliever, even in the matters of the world, even in the worldly, material world, still the believer is better than the disbeliever. لأن الله يقول من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. سورة النحل, verse 97, Allah Jalla Jalla says, interpretation of the meaning in English, whoever does righteous deeds, whether male or female, both male and female, while a believer, you must be a believer, then verily we shall grant them a good life. We will let them lead a good hayatan tayyiba, a life of goodness, a good life. Al-hayatu tayyiba hadhi mafquda bil-nisbati lil-kuffar. The Shaykh said, this life, this good life is not existing in the life of the disbeliever. He does not have this good life. And I mentioned to you before that there was a German billionaire who was like ranked number 17 on the list of the richest people in the world. And then due to the economic crisis that occurred, he wound up losing some of his wealth, and he was no longer number 17 on the list of the most rich people. He became like, I don't know, some 50 or something. He committed suicide.
But he's still rich.
Yeah, he's still rich. But he was 17, man. Now, he doesn't have as much money. He committed suicide. And you hear about, the Chinese, company owners. After, a few years, he does a lot of money, then he tricks the business and things go bad. He jumps out of the window. And you hear the story often. I'm not picking on Chinese people, but it happens very often in that country because they're very, at one point they were a communist country, no religion. And so it's really a material life. So when the money's not working out, khalas, he doesn't want to live anymore. So you will not see a believer do this, man. Even if you don't have money, even if you owe people money, the last thing you will think of is committing suicide. Subhanallah. Because maybe Allah will make a way out for you eventually. If the dunya doesn't work out, maybe the hereafter will work out. You're looking forward for something afterwards. In their life, not enough money, no need to live. So, this, as the Shaykh mentioned, that life of goodness is unavailable with the disbeliever. حَيَاتُهُمْ كَحَيَاتِ الْبَهَائِمِ. Their life is like that of the cattle, the animals. إِذَا شَبِعَ رَوَّثْ. If he becomes full, he defecates. If he eats, if he eats a lot, he goes to the bathroom, which is like the animal. وَإِذَا لَمْ يَشْبَعْ جَلَسَ يَصْرُخْ. And if he's not full, if he doesn't eat enough, he will sit there and scream and panic. What is this? What is blah, blah, blah. He will not be patient as a believer would be patient, hoping that, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. Verily with hardship comes ease. He knows that there's ajr for the sabirin. Allah told us that He will test us with the deficiency of wealth and the fruits and children and everything of that nature. The believer has a different attitude towards the life than that of the disbeliever. نعم. هكذا هؤلاء الكفار إن شبعوا بطروا وإلا جلسوا يصرخون. This is how these disbelievers are. If they eat enough, then they will become arrogant. That we have the life, we have money, we have wealth. They feel like they have a higher status than the rest of the creation. And if not, then they sit there and scream and complain. ولا يستفيدون من دنياهم. And they do not benefit from their life, from this life of this world. لكن المؤمن إن أصابته ضراء صبر واحتسب الأجر على الله عز وجل. Whereas the believer, if he is afflicted with a calamity, then he is patient and he seeks the reward with Allah, the Exalted. وإن أصابته سراء شكر. And if something pleasing happens to him, he becomes thankful. He's thankful to Allah. This believer doesn't feel this way. I mean, just give you an example. Both a Muslim and a non-Muslim are looking for a job, right? And for whatever reason, both of them get the job on the 7th of January. Okay? For the believer, what does he say? Alhamdulillah. For the disbeliever, that's a lucky 7. Lucky 7, man. I knew it was a 7. See, if I had applied for the job on another day, I would have not gotten the job because it's the 7, the whole thing about the 7. Similarly, if something happened on 13, they say, okay, it's unlucky 13. So that they don't have this relationship with Allah, so they're always connected to the material world. Whereas the believer, as we mentioned already, I'm sure you understand what I'm saying, I'm being redundant, but for us to really understand the difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. So you seek the reward with Allah, you are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهُوَ فِي خَيْرٍ فِي هَذَا وَهَذَا. So you, the believer, is in a state of goodness in both situations. Whether a calamity befalls upon him or whether something good happens to him, either way he is in a state of goodness. وَقَلْبُهُ مُنْشَرِحٌ مُطْمَئِنٌ مَاشٍ عَلَى الْقَضَاءِ وَالْقَدَرِ مَعَ الْقَضَاءِ وَالْقَدَرِ. His heart is in a state of tranquility. It is open, يعني accepting to the decree and the preordainment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا جَزَى عِنْدَ الْبَلَاءِ وَلَا بَطْرَ عِنْدَ النَّعْمَاءِ. There is no panicking when calamity befalls, and there is no arrogance when you are given sustenance from Allah. بل هو متوازن مستقيم معتدل. Rather, he is even, he's just, you know, on a middle course, not on either extreme. فهذا فرق ما بين الرحمة هذه وهذه. فهذا فرق ما بين الرحمة هذه وهذه. So this is the difference between this kind of mercy and that kind of mercy. Huge difference. Both are attaining the mercy of Allah, but the believer has something much more special than the disbeliever. And we say, Alhamdulillah, that he made us among the believers. لكن مع الأسف الشديد أيها الأخوة إن منا أناسا آلافا يريدون أن يلحقوا بركب الكفار في الدنيا حتى جعلوا الدنيا هي همهم. إن أعطوا رضوا وإن لم يعطوا إذا هم يسقطون. He said, but I say with sorrow filling my heart, my beloved brothers, that there are thousands of people amongst us, the Muslims, are trying to follow the footsteps of the disbelievers in their chasing of the dunya, where they made the dunya their most important concern. They have no concern rather than that of the dunya. And this is obvious. Each one of us actually probably suffers from this disease to some extent, some more than others. And us here are better than others who don't even bother to even give some time to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learning, to increasing our iman, because this is a boost of iman. Listening to the ayat of the Quran, the tafsir of the ayat of the Quran, the reminders from the Prophet ﷺ will increase your iman. You will get some information that you did not know prior to walking into this door. You will use it later on in your life, maybe today, maybe next year, maybe before you die. You may share it with someone else, and that someone else will benefit from it and teach it to others. And you will be getting an equal reward like all of those whom you have taught because of some simple sentence you may have heard today. Not because of me, because of anyone who will be educating the Muslims in the right, with the right authentic material, then the benefit is the same. Whether it's Dr. Yahya or any other instructor or any other da'iyah, you will be getting that benefit bi-idhnillah azza wa jal by listening and trying to implement that and practice it into your life. So the Shaykh said, so these people are following the footsteps of the disbelievers. If they're given, they become pleased. If you have dunya, if you have a lot of money, they're satisfied. And if they're not, then they become displeased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هَؤُلَاءِ مَهْمَا بَلَغُوا مِنَ الرَّفَاهِيَةِ الدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ فَهُمْ فِي جَحِيمٍ. He said, these people, irrelevant of how much they attain from this life of this world and this luxury, they are actually in hell. They are in the living hell. Not the hell, the hellfire, but the condition of their life is hell. Because when you have a lot of money, you worry about losing it. And when you don't have a lot of money, you spend all of your time trying to make it. So either way, you are over concerned with the money. Whether making it or preserving it, that becomes your main concern. So then no time for the salah, and no time for the voluntary acts of worship, and no time for knowledge, because they prioritize. And they say the dunya is more important. Now, This is for the brothers يعني, or the Muslims who have extra wealth. Some of us may really need the money to take care of some obligations. There's no blame, and this is not blameworthy. So maybe, for example, you're taking care of your family back home, and you working here is maintaining, you know, 5-6 family members, and you really have to work extra hours and extra hard to make money. No harm. Rather, in that case, it may be obligatory on you to continue to work to suffice your family members, rather than leaving them unattended and begging people for money while you're sitting here trying to gain knowledge. So each person has his own personal situation, you know, and we're not all alike. But we're speaking about those who already have money, and they still, you know, emphasize that. But for those who need money sincerely, then of course Allah knows about their condition, and inshallah there's nothing against them. The Shaykh said, لَمْ يَذُوقُ لَذَّةَ الدُّنْيَا أَبَدًا إِنَّمَا ذَاقَهَا مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. So these disbelievers, they have never truly tasted the sweetness of this dunya, which is in iman. Rather, the only one who tastes the sweetness of the dunya is the one who believes in Allah and does righteous deeds. And we say in the sweetness, يعني, because there are things that Allah made halal, that you are eating and drinking and getting married and things of this nature. And then of course you enjoy the acts of worship. You enjoy your belief in Allah, and this is in the dunya. It's not in the hereafter. It doesn't mean that you enjoy the material world as a disbeliever would. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ وَاللَّهِ لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمُلُوكِ وَأَبْنَاءُ الْمُلُوكِ مَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ لَجَالَدُونَ عَلَيْهِ بِالسُّيُوفِ. This is why some of our righteous predecessors, as Salaf, are those who come before us, linguistically or lexically speaking. Anyone who preceded you is considered Salaf, whether good or bad. Because Fir'aun is one of the Salaf. Okay? But when used by the scholars, when they say the word Salaf, they're referring to the righteous predecessors, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, the generation that came after them, and then the generation that came after them. These are the first three generations of Muslims that were praised in the Quran and the Sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of people are my generation, than those who will come after them, than those who will come after them. So he gave them a status or a virtue that me and you don't have. So when we say that Salaf, we're referring to those individuals who Islam was everything for them. Islam was the most important thing in their life. There was nothing more, they didn't prioritize anything over or ahead of Islam. That was their main goal. Learning it, implementing it, and propagating it. This is what they did, which we don't do in the same fashion today. We only have, maybe we do 2% of what they did. Anyways, one of them said, by Allah, if the kings and the children of the kings, yani those who have the biggest money, those who are running, you know, running business, if they knew what we are in from satisfaction and tranquility and happiness, they would have fought against us with their swords. Yani they would fight against us with the swords, trying to take away the iman and the pleasure and the happiness that we have. Because, you know, they have all the money, but they don't have the sweetness of iman which the believer has. لِأَنَّهُ حَالَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ هَذَا النَّعِيمَ مَهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْفُسُوقِ وَالْعِصْيَانِ وَالرُّكُونِ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا وَأَنَّهَا أَكْبَرَ هَمُّهُمْ وَمَبْلَغُ عِلْمِهِمْ. The reason why, because there has come a partition between them and that sweetness of faith. And that partition is their disobedience and their sinful way. Arrogance. The Shaykh didn't mention that, but I mean, of course, it may be included. It's part of the disobedience. وَالرُّكُوْ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا, and reclining towards the dunya, or inclining towards the dunya. وَأَنَّهَا أَكْبَرَ هَمُّهُمْ وَمَبْلَغُ عِلْمِهِمْ. And the dunya is the most important thing for them in this life, and where all their knowledge is concentrated. Their knowledge is concentrated on the worldly, the knowledge of the dunya, not the knowledge of the religion of Islam. المهم قوله رحمة وعلما. رحمة تمييز محول عن الفاعل وكذلك وعلما لأن الأصل ربنا وسعت رحمتك وعلمك كل شيء. This is grammar. وفي الآية من صفات الله. A. What are the attributes that we learn from this ayah? I will repeat the ayah. A. ربنا وسعت كل شيء رحمة وعلما. Our Lord, you have encompassed all things in mercy and knowledge. What are the attributes of Allah that we...
Mercy and knowledge.
Mercy and knowledge.
Mercy and knowledge.
And one more. Rahma and knowledge, we agree. No.
Repeat that again.
Rabbana wasi'at Rabb, aywa. Al-Rabb, the creator, sustainer, cherisher of the dunya. So, three qualities. Al-Rububiyya, Al-Rabb, and Al-Rahma, and Al-Ilm. These are the three attributes that we learn from that particular ayah. Verse number 7. Hey, Surah, no, it's the same ayah, Surah Ghafir. Tayyib. So we've dealt already two ayat, mashallah, today. Al-ayah al-ula, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, from Surah al-Nahl, Surah al-Naml, afwan. The second ayah, Ghafir, verse 7, because the Shaykh will enumerate all the ayat dealing with the mercy of Allah. The third ayah, قَوْلُهُ وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, the one that we quoted earlier. And he is ever most merciful, يرحمك الله. And he is ever most merciful to the believers. Just for a quick comment, when a Muslim sneezes and he praises Allah audibly where you can hear it, it becomes obligatory upon you to say يرحمك الله. So it is not an option there. If he did not say Alhamdulillah, then you cannot say يرحمك الله. But if he says it and you hear it, you must say يرحمك الله. This is his right, according to the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. طيب.
Do you need to speak loudly for
that? Well, how are we going to know that you said it? Come on, man. Otherwise,
you mean the Alhamdulillah.
Either way, both of them, I mean, we have to hear it unless so we could act accordingly. Actually, one of the companions did that in the Salah. He praised Allah. He sneezed. Remember the hadith? He praised. Somebody sneezed. Or he sneezed and he said, Alhamdulillah. And so the companions, you know, they were making, hey man, what are you doing? You're talking in the Salah. And then, you know, he started speaking more in the Salah. You know, it's like, what is the matter with you people looking at me? So they're like, this brother, you know, can't stop speaking. So when the Salah was concluded, the Prophet ﷺ came to him and he said, I have never seen a better teacher. I've never seen a better teacher or instructor, more merciful and better in the method of instruction than him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not curse me. He did not scream at me. He did not reprimand me or anything of this nature. Rather, he said, "My ya akhi, this salah, you know, there's no part, there's no nothing of the speech of the regular speech of the people belongs in the salah." So he instructed him in the best ways possible. So much so that the man said afterwards, "May Allah have mercy on me and on you, O Messenger of Allah, and only the two of us." And he wanted to exclude the companions. The Prophet ﷺ said, "You have limited something that is vast. The mercy of Allah, you cannot limit it to me and you. The companions are included." But this is because of the reaction versus that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anyways, akhi, I'm not trying to pick on you. The idea is that saying Alhamdulillah, it must be said out loud for us to recognize it so we can say Alhamdulillah to you. If you say it in your heart, then we will not know, we cannot say Alhamdulillah anymore. And it's a dua for you. I mean, you want to say Alhamdulillah, so the brother will tell you Alhamdulillah, may Allah have mercy on you. That's a big deal, dealing with rahmah. So yani, this is relevant to our discussion. طيب, that was Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 43. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And he is ever most merciful to the believers only. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مُتَعَلِّقٌ بِرَحِيمٌ وَتَقْدِيمُ الْمَعْمُولِ يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْحَصْرِ فَيَكُونُ مَعْنَى الْآيَةِ وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَا غَيْرِهِمْ رَحِيمًا. طيب. The word bil mu'minin, to the believers, is relevant or is attached to rahim, bi rahim. Now, in the language of the Arabs, and sometimes it may be indicated in the English language, but not as strong, the what is known as exclusivity. And the way it is done is, in the construction of the Arabic sentence, if that which is supposed to be delayed in the sentence has been moved to the beginning of the sentence, where yani, the sentence structure is turned around, then that indicates exclusivity to that which we're speaking about. And a classical example is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You could have said in the language نَعْبُدُكَ وَحْدَكَ, we worship you alone, وَنَسْتَعِينُ بِكَ, and we seek assistance from you. But that's not how the ayah came. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, it is only you we worship. Not we worship you alone, it is only you we worship. That indicates what is known as al-hasr, exclusivity. Because when you say we worship you, without alone. Let's say we worship you. That may mean that you worship others as well. You can worship Allah and worship others with them. But when you say, it is only you we worship, there's no more option. You don't worship anyone other than Allah. You see what I'm saying? So that is known as exclusivity. Being exclusive. And وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And to the believers, He is full of mercy. That means only to the believers. That رحمة, that specific, exclusively for the believers. Now, ولكن كيف نسمع بين هذه الآية والتي قبلها؟ But hold on, the Shaykh said, then how do we bring a relation between that ayah, which is being exclusively merciful to the believers, and the ayah that we just learned, which is our Lord, you have encompassed all things in mercy and knowledge. Right? It seems, it appears to be a contradiction, but there isn't. نقول الرحمة التي هنا غير الرحمة التي هناك. Mercy here is unlike the mercy over there. As we had just explained, the mercy here is the mercy of the specific for the believers, that of guidance, that of success, that of Jannah, and this is not applicable for the disbeliever. هذه رحمة خاصة متصلة برحمة الآخرة لا ينالها الكافر. This is a specific mercy that is attached to the mercy of the hereafter that the disbeliever never attains. بخلاف الأولى, unlike the first. هذا هو الجمع بينهما. This is how we bring a relation between these two ayat. وإلا فكل مرحوم. Otherwise, everyone will have his own personal mercy, the believer and the disbeliever. But the nature of that mercy is not the same. Another example, worldly example, you may love your children, and you may love one more than the other. Now the quality of love is there for both, but the way you express your love to one of them, who does better in school, he doesn't give you a hard time, he behaves well, is different than the one who is, you know, a little, you know, difficult to deal with, and he misbehaves in school and gives you trouble. Although you love both, the manifestation of this love with one is different than the other. Now it doesn't mean that you can do injustice in Islam. You know, love is one thing and dealing and treatment is another thing. Still, Islamically, you treat them alike. You give both of them a gift if you were to get a gift and so forth. But we're saying that, you know, the love may be different depending on who is being loved. So mercy is different depending on who is attaining the mercy. That of the believer is unlike that of the disbeliever. ومن الآية من الصفات, what is the attribute that we learn from this ayah?
رحيم.
That's it. وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما. So الرحمة, mercy. ومن الناحية المسلكية الترغيب في الإيمان. The practical benefit that we learn from these from this ayah is encouraging one to be a believer. يعني the more you have iman, the more you will get the mercy of Allah. So that if Allah is exclusively merciful to the believers, then we know that the believers are not all at the same level. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is not like me and you. You see what I'm saying? Although some denominations among the Muslims believe that we are the same. You and Abu Bakr are the same, because he believes in Allah and the angels and the last day and the books and the, you know, whatever. And so do you. So there's no difference between you. But we know from the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah that Iman is, after believing in these things, the level of certainty you have, and how do you transform that or translate that into acts of worship and submission. This is where the Muslims vary. So one believer is stronger than the other. And with the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, that the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. So he made a distinction between the believers. They're not all the same. طيب. نعم. So we should strive to be among the believers. طيب. We will stop, inshallah, because we only have a few minutes left for the adhan, and I want to give some time for questions, inshallah. And inshallah ta'ala, next week, if everybody comes again, which will be just great, we'll be dealing with Surah Al-A'raf, verse 156, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, and my mercy encompasses everything, dealing with more ayat, dealing with the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attribute of mercy. And then of course, inshallah, if you continue to come, you will see the nature of this book, how we will move on from one attribute to another. Now we're dealing with mercy and knowledge, but then we will come to other attributes of Allah that are relevant to informative attributes, and I will not elaborate on that. I will leave that till the future, inshallah. We will conclude our desk with that. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.